Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Red Tinted Glasses podcast with me, Callum, and of course, Glenn too. I'd just like to start off the show by first of all thanking you all for all of your support throughout this season. We started these podcasts off just as a bit of a laugh, and it's turned out into something very, very enjoyable, and it's been even better having you all along for the ride with us too. It's also worth mentioning that we did this podcast as a live stream on our YouTube channel, Red Tinted Glasses. You can subscribe over there for the video versions. But the fact we did it live probably means it's a bit more raw straight after the game with our initial reaction. So we apologise for that. I won't waste any more of your time and we'll get into things. I hope you enjoy the show, and once again, thank you very much for all of your support. There was just nothing good about it, was there?
Well, I don't know, to be honest, Callum. I didn't even bother watching. That's how confident I was it was going to be terrible.
I was confident it was going to be terrible, but I thought I'd tune in anyway, just in case maybe there's a chance it's not going to be terrible. And it was woeful. It was as woeful as I expected, if not actually worse, because we created better chances than them and just handed them so many chances on a plate. Just every single one of their goals, basically. Other than maybe Roof's first one.
Roof's first one, though, still maybe question marks about how much better we could have done defensively. Conor McLennan again exploited, as we knew he would.
Not a right back.
Not a right back, but you're putting, what's this saying? Squares into round holes, or
square pegs right in round holes.
Yeah, it's kind of what we've been doing at right back this season, but you know, it's the worst thing was it none of us were expecting anything other than a doing.
No.
Today, and a doing is what we got. But Callum, obviously, like I said, I've not watched the game. You did. Apparently we were okay in the second half. I don't want to be like we were amazing, but
we started off very, very well. I mean, Lewis Ferguson hit the bar from basically underneath the bar. Before that, yeah. Hornby missed a wide open goal.
Summing up Fraser Hornby's time at Aberdeen, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. There was a few other chances as well. But we started. We literally created the best chances of the game, and somehow the donkeys in front of goal missed them all, and they just took all of them, all their chances that they were gifted by us, absolutely gifted. The fact we've finished fourth so comfortably is not because of how good we are; it's because of how shit everyone else is in the league. Not an achievement whatsoever qualifying for Europe this season.
But I mean, you might as well just play Ferguson's miss on repeat if you want to sum up our goal-scoring efforts this season, because it's always been so near, but yet so bloody far.
Well, yeah, all of it was terrible. Just, I'm so livid. I'm just so glad that the season's finished. I'm so glad the season's done. Oh, there's some comments actually. We'll get them involved. I've not noticed them. Played well second half. Yeah, we did play well second half, but still gifted them. Few goals, didn't we? Good evening.
Good evening. It's mid afternoon.
Good evening. It's afternoon. It's usually replace this pish. Honestly, I don't know. Don't know who we're going to sign to replace this.
A whole
pish.
New squad at this rate.
Yeah, get rid of all of them. Get rid of all of them. Turned it off with the first goal. That was wise.
To be fair, it was better than me. I didn't even turn it on in the first place. I was texting you beforehand. You didn't even turn it on until kickoff because you didn't want to enjoy Rangers TV's coverage. Let's be honest. Yeah. It wasn't really Sky Sports before the game even started. But I just had a sense that it would be terrible. Barely 3 minutes in and we're already punching the ball into the back of our net. I don't know how on earth Joel Lewis has done that. And after us having the debate about who should be number one next season, should it be Gary Wood, should it be Joel Lewis, questions around whether or not Gary Woods is good enough for the ambition of the club, questions around him being a shot stopper. There we go. Another howler from the captain.
I would rather have pissed Gary Woods in goals today. Rather than Joel Lewis. Do you want to get into that, Claire? I know you've got an impassioned rant probably ready for that.
I mean, to be honest, I would have had an impassioned rant had we run some past caning now the season's over.
Yeah, 100%, yeah.
It was an impassioned rant. I was impassionate ranting to you last night because Shay Logan's basically shown total disregard for the club since he's been shown the door when Sheeran came in against Dundee United. You know, tweeting himself on the golf course when we're struggling against Dundee United. And then last night, obviously, I know when McInnes first came in, there used to be a 24-hour ban on social media either side of the game. But obviously, these players are beyond caring anymore. I totally agree. You know, a lot of these guys aren't going to be here next season. They're allowed to go and enjoy their night out after probably a long season of restrictions on them, given the tight COVID protocols. And ironic, though, given Seoul was this for the focus point at the start of the season, and it's then the focus at the end of the season as well. But I think for me, Logan's definitely going to be away. Taylor will be away. Ironic that I did like the comment from, I think it was Cove.82 to me last night, saying, I noticed Devlin's poor attempts to hide himself from the camera. I'm surprised he didn't injure himself in doing so.
Yeah, very true. I'm just glad he's still alive. He's still around. So that's at least one thing. I think the one thing that maybe was wrong that doesn't sit well with me was the fact, obviously, Woods hadn't been it hadn't been announced that he wasn't going to be playing, and then Logan goes and shows it to the world. But I suppose if he didn't do it, I'm sure someone else probably would have.
Yeah, no, and that's what you said last night. But I think, you know, when the manager comes out and says, oh, there's no injury concerns, it's same team that played on Wednesday is going down the road, and then someone who's currently contracted to the club goes and puts it on their social media that they're out at the bar a night before. And, you know, when we interviewed Steve Tosh, he said the passion is only there from the fans against Rangers and very rarely anymore. Well, for me, last night, Aberdeen v Rangers is still, regardless if it's end of the season and a dead rubber, that should still hold a rivalry. But for me, it's quite clear that a lot of these players just don't care about the club or the rivalry of that game. In that instance, I know some people probably think, oh, this is just an overreaction to it, but it just annoyed me that, and look, at the end of the day, it's not really mattered who is in goals, we're going to get pumped either way, but you've just gone and given who's not going to be in your team to the opposition the night before. And look, you know Joe Lewis might not have been 100% fit. They'd gone, bonus, we'll just start pumping high balls into him, putting him under pressure from corners, test his rib out. Well, you just needed to chuck a ball across the face of the goal, and he just decides to punch it into the back of the net when it's probably easier to either save it or clear it.
Yeah, that was a bit of a disgrace. Let's be honest. Yeah, I think a pissed Gary Woods would have done better there. Bobby Clark, me, maybe. I mean, who knows?
Thomas Cherney should have got him off the River Don last night on his paddle board. Should have paddled straight down the Clyde and into the first team.
At least he's enjoying himself. We've got a comment here. Ferguson's value going down every game. That is interesting. I mean, I did think he lacked urgency today. And that miss, oh my word. I don't know how... I mean, it's easier to miss than to score.
It's easier to score than miss.
That's the one. Yeah. That's it. I just bailed him out there by accident. No, yeah, easier to score than miss, and yet somehow... my dad says he could have done it with a couple of gammy legs. He's in his 60s, so there we go.
Taken a touch before slotting at home as well. He doesn't need to go first time. That's how open the goal was, but... I did enjoy watching the replays of that, watching his attempts at trying to say, oh, that was over the line, because it was actually nowhere near hit the line on the way down. It was miles in front of it. But do you think his value is going down, and will he be a valuable asset in terms of potential sale in the summer?
I think his value's probably gone down from about October to now, definitely.
I think like him and McCrory have both suffered after the whole under-21 COVID fiasco.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting with all the centre mids coming in the summer. Well, not all the centres coming in, but I suppose Foon Soja coming back, whether he'll be around.
Scott Brown
coming in, and someone asked Brown to be captain next season. Well, I don't know if it should be Joe, let's be honest, but I don't think it should be Joe in the first place anyway, in all honesty. But then again, if it's not him, who else? Because the rest of them are pretty spineless too, so... It's not great, yeah.
I don't know. I have a feeling that he will come in as captain, just from kind of the talk that's going around. But there's obviously question marks. Some people have given Scott Brown's performances in the Old Firm games this season, and he's not been the best. Let's be honest, in those particular games, we've spoken plenty of time about how his mentality is something that we need, but we look at our performance today from what we currently have compared to what Scott Brown and his Celtics side put in when they visited Ibrox a few weeks ago. It's pretty much on a similar part, and potentially we actually probably created better chances, albeit we didn't score, but then that's been the story of our season.
You need to get the tea cake league assistant to finish off those chances. What do you think of that?
You know, we need a goal scorer. And Lee Griffiths, okay, as Colin said when he's joined us on this show before, he's not really had it in recent seasons, but if we can get him in early, working with Alan Russell...
Well, I mean, Jesus, we don't know if that's a good idea. Let's be honest. We don't know if that working with Alan Russell is a good idea these days.
Yeah, no, maybe they shouldn't hang about off the pitch given Lee Griffiths' known problems off the pitch and...
Alan Russell's known problems off the pitch.
I mean, if that article did not sum up the car crash of a season that we've had,
literally,
it was just the icing on the cake. Literally, yeah. Given his involvement in that, but I don't think Stephen Glass appreciated being asked about that. I wonder if the club had any knowledge, because to me, I don't think they did.
Well, I mean, let's be honest. What he did was fucking abysmal. Letting his pissed brother, who's not insured, drive his car and then cause an accident. And I think this guy's now probably not able to work his job that he was, because he was, a paramedic. He drove ambulances. So, well done, Alan Russell, you clown, first of all, let's say. Hopefully that's behind them and it's a mistake. People make mistakes, they can redeem themselves.
I mean, just look at Declan Gallagher.
I mean, yeah, you're right. It has summed up this season. It's been a disaster from start to finish. We're a total circus. I'm so glad it's done. And Stephen Glass, whoever else, has got some bloody job on their hands in the summer. We've said it before, but oh my God, today highlighted it, didn't it?
Yeah, and I mean, the biggest thing is, which you said in the preview show, was, boy, do we need to see Dave Cormack going back Stephen Glass to the hilt next season, because it is his first appointment, so it's his neck on the line. It's an inexperienced manager. We knew before that we wouldn't keep a clean sheet today, so we'll be going into our first competitive game next season with still having failed to keep a clean sheet under Stephen Glass management. So, and we can't even have a reliable keeper. You know, Gary Woods had his mistake on Wednesday. Joel Lewis has another mistake today. It's almost from front to back, we're needing desperate work on this squad. And do you think obviously we've got the players that are out of contract, which we'll find out who they are in the coming days. To be honest, they should just announce it now to give us a bit of something to talk about and maybe enjoy. And that's how bad it's been. But do you think we'll then, you know, the comment that you brought up earlier about Ferguson's value going down, do you then think we might actually have to start selling players to possibly fund this rebuild? Because it's not like we need one or two players to make this squad better. We need a lot more.
As I said here by Carl Cruikshank, what would you boys realistically wish to see next season? Because I don't think the squad is good enough. We don't sign players, only loan a free agents. We need a plan B when things don't go well. First of all, 100% agree. This squad is nowhere near good enough. Look at today, who performed well? Ryan Hedges. That's it, really.
Which has been the story of the season, which is why he got Player of the Year.
Exactly. Could
you imagine what this season would have actually been like without Ryan Hedges?
Oh my word, it would have been terrible. Yes, it would have been bad. I don't know. Honestly, it'll be very, very interesting. Obviously, you've got Declan Gallagher and Brown coming in. We'll need
so far
a couple strikers easily. Possibly three if Anderson doesn't stay. And one of them, if one of them is Jude Emmanuel Thomas, I swear to God. But there needs to be someone ahead of him, like a first choice that we can rely on to be our number one man through the whole season. None of this three signings, which are all very, very meh, in Hendry, Kimberley, and what's the other one? Hornby, Donkey. No, needs to have someone as a number one main man, like we sort of had with Adam Rooney, and then you've got sort of backup supporting cast. Because, oh my God, we can't keep spurning chances like we did today. Mm. Not at all.
But if you keep that comment up a second, the interesting thing for me about the Jet signing, not only is that open up to marketing geniuses by name, putting him as squad number 747, 83, like your 380s and stuff like that. You know, all the playing geeks will be loving that. But we spoke about Bruce Anderson very briefly in our preview episode for this Rangers game, because Ben from the Only Akis podcast had said he's pretty much been shite recently. And you know, you said he started well in his when he went to Akis on loan up with Marius Ogunpo, who's a big, tall striker, and he was feeding off of him. J. Emmanuel Thomas is a big, tall striker that Bruce Anderson could feed off of. Now, I'm not saying that he would be the right signing, because as I've said to many people, he's 30 years old. Colin Watt said, are we trying to build a retirement home for Scottish football players next season? Declan Gallagher falls into that category with his age. But so when Cormac started and brought in Stephen Glass, it was all about investing in youth. Yet we've gone and signed Scott Brown, Declan Gallagher, who are in their 30s, and linked with J. Emmanuel Thomas, also in his 30s. The only player under 30 that we've been linked with is Clark Robertson.
Who's broken.
Yeah. Well, what about Marley Watkins? He's been released by Bristol City. Surely we've got to be talking to him.
Broken.
Who is the other one?
Old.
Louis Malt.
Knee injury.
To be fair, that's our scouting network. Ross Richardson does a great job.
I think, yeah, if we bring in J. Emmanuel Thomas, I think he's made, as Cal mentions, that could be a plan B. Hoy him up top, a big unit, and hope for the best. But we need a number one, a star man up top.
And to be honest, I agree. Just on Cal's point, just to finish off there, sorry, before you bring up the next comment. We've never had a plan B. Under McInnes, no plan B. I don't know in these games under Stephen Glass. I still, you know, I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt. As, you know, we spoke about, he's building towards next season. I think there was little plan B under Stephen Glass, because he is seeing what these players are made of, seeing how these players cope in these situations. So I'm going to hold off on that just now, on his plan B. I hope he's got something going forward. Now, JJ Boole, for those of you that maybe listen to the Totally Scottish Football Show, maybe follow him on Twitter as well, he said he can see the positivities in what Stephen Glass is trying to achieve. We saw it against Hibs. We've got better one-touch football, movement of the ball, and we're better getting up to the top end of the pitch. But it falls down when we get there. We have the plan. Stephen Glass has the plan. We just now need the players.
I would agree. I would also agree with this. Need a total clear out. Yes, 100%. Mm-hmm. Griffiths also mentioned again. Old, but he'd be one that I'm actually behind, because he could still do the job for a couple of years, and he could be our star man with supporting cast.
I mean, especially in this league as well, given how, you know, we, like we said, comfortably finished fourth in what has been a terrible league. Griffiths, if we can get him match fit and get his mind clear, that could be a bit of quality that we desperately need in front of goal.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, but Hedges wasn't the only good player today. McKenzie looks an excellent defender. McGeoch, good, from Ian Watson. McKenzie does look an excellent defender, to be
fair. He's the same age as Lewis Ferguson, as Keith wanted me to point out. Same age as Lewis Ferguson, Conor McLennan. So, you know, we can't just class him as a young and experienced player, because same age as these guys, Dean Campbell as well. So, and you know, he was up against James Tavernier today. I know obviously scoreline maybe suggests otherwise, but he's looked composed in these big games.
He has, but I think I was just said the Hedges thing in a pit of fury. Okay, Hedges was the only player looked like he was going to create anything and of any use. He looks solid, but at the end of the day, he's in a back four that's conceded four goals. Maybe not his fault entirely, but there's a couple of reflections that a bit suspect. McGeoch, good. McGeoch, yeah, meh, okay, but still a bit slow on the ball. A bit slow on the ball for my liking. A little severe lack of urgency in the middle of the park today. Rhys Sutherland, what do you think about Clark Robertson coming back? We covered it a little bit.
Yeah, we covered it in our last show.
Yeah.
Well, he's not old in the sense compared to Declan Gallagher and that, but it's not an exciting signing for me. It's very meh, and you know, I've seen people say if it was a signing that McInnes made, he'd be crucified for it. Mm-hmm. I don't know. For me, the jury's out because the biggest concern is his lack of fitness. In recent months for Rotherham, he does whenever I was, you know, not an Aberdeen game watching Soccer Saturday, always seemed to be he would pop up with a goal for Rotherham or Blackpool, albeit he's only, I think, was it 9 goals, I said in the preview show, that he'd scored in his time away, so shows how often I've been watching it. But yeah, I don't think the Rotherham fans will be too disappointed to see the back of him, given, like we said, his injury concerns, because they've said, you know, there's a player in there. Mm-hmm. He just needs to stay fit, and you know, we can't afford another Michael Devlin because everyone said there's a player in there. Mm-hmm. We all know how that's turned out.
Well, you said, I think it was either the previous show, maybe it was the live show, I can't remember anymore. He's played 16 times for Rotherham this season, so he's either been not good enough to get into a Rotherham side that's got relegated from the Championship, or he's been injured and only played 16 games, which we can't afford to have any more of that sort of player on our books. And speaking of players like that, Tommy Hoban, who has got fit, forgotten how to defend, though, in recent times today, giving the ball away for their third goal, much in a similar vein as Dean Campbell did. It was just pathetic, in all honesty, genuinely terrible. And if he had offers down in England from his performances earlier in the season, beginning to think they might be getting taken off the table.
Yeah, if you think Ferguson's value's gone down, as someone mentioned earlier, Hoban's value's probably going down as well. Mm-hmm. I don't know though. I don't know what's happened to him. You know, we described him as a Rolls Royce at the beginning of the season. As someone said, he's now probably a Rolls Royce with about 60,000 miles on the clock, or as Gooby likes to call it, a Skoda. I don't know. We know what he's capable of. I don't think he's suited to the style that Stephen Glass is wanting to play. I don't think he looks comfortable playing the ball out from the back. I think, you know, he kind of reminds me, in a bit like a Mark Reynolds sort of defender, just no nonsense, gets the ball, just wants rid of it, clear out of the pitch, rid of the danger. He doesn't like to have that time on the ball, even though earlier in the season we did see him kind of as a marauding right wing back at times. But for some reason, since we've changed kind of formation, he just doesn't look comfortable at all.
Yeah. So you're not looking comfortable at all. In hindsight, it's criminal offence to have given McLennan a new deal. Looks Highland League standard at the moment from Lewis Blackhall. He's not a right back though. Never in his plan to be a right back. I think he's far better going forward than he is defensively. Let's not forget, he is only 21 or something like that still as well. Maybe even 20. He needs to nurture his talent. He's very raw and he's certainly not a defender. I'll say that much.
No, we need to... is Robbie Hanratty, who's, I don't know if he's tuning in because he might be at a game today, but as he's always said, it's his lack of awareness kind of, and we've said, you know, it's his brain and feet don't seem to engage at the same time. But again, we'll see how he develops next season. But again, next season's going to be probably like a pivotal season for Connor in terms of if he doesn't start taking his chances regularly in the first team or his level of performances continue, it's how they've gone just now. Yeah, I think it could be out the door because right back is certainly, he's not suited to it. I don't know what Ian's been drinking today to think he might have a chance at right back, because certainly from the Hibs game and looking at that second goal, there's too many times that Hibs exploited that on Wednesday night. We can't have him at right back going forward next season.
I would agree with that 100%, Glenn. Louis Moult, also a free agent, I think so, in the summer, along with Molly Watkins. But these are players, I feel like now, we've seen it so many times over the years, we can't afford to be taking punts on players that we know are good players in there, but have this injury record that is questionable, to say the least.
29-year-old.
Yeah, Louis get Moult on a bit. 29-year-old injury-prone striker, not for me. I know it's been touched on before, says Rhys Sutherland, but the captain's armband needs to be changed. Lewis is not up to the task, as proven in performances this season. I don't know whether that's due to the armband, I don't know if that makes a difference. I don't think we should have him as our captain, regardless whether that's affected his performances, which have been poor. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't surprise me if Scott Brown was club captain, if not team captain, next season. I know there's some sort of difference, not really sure what, but people do it, especially in England for some reason.
Yeah, I don't think we can really say that the armband's affected his performance, and if it has, I think that's really poor. If that pressure of being captain's affecting your level of performance. But no, I agree. It should always be an outfield player for me, because they've got more chance of influencing a game. You know, speaking of Scott Brown, which was mentioned earlier, should he be captain next season, or will he be captain next season? Look how he influenced games for Celtic as being a captain in the middle of the park. He's there all the time. Anytime a decision's made, if there's a decision up the other end of the park, Joe Luce isn't sprinting 80 yards to go in and get in the referee's face, is he?
I wish he would. Well, that'd be funny.
So whereas you're more likely to see an outfield player do that, and I can't remember who it was I listened to on a previous podcast saying, like, you always get certain club captains nipping in the referee's ear at decisions. That's his second foul. How many times do you let him get away with that? Shinny probably is a good example of that. Yeah, definitely. So, you know, that's something that we need, because we're almost too nice.
Yeah, and Liam Coker says, surely we can't have 18 centre mids next season too. I agree.
No,
so
Liam.
So we've got...
Liam, you're right, we could have about 20.
Yeah, McCrory, Ferguson, Campbell... and McGee are all at the club and under contract next season. Then you've got Ojo coming back, plus Brown coming in. So you've got to think probably one of Ojo or McGee, you'd probably think Ojo will be going.
Well, McGee, both Ojo and McGee are still under contract until next season. I don't know how... I think Ojo's done quite well at Wigan, so maybe they might fancy taking him back. Or this might be an unpopular shout. Do you put Dean Campbell out on loan?
I think that he would probably benefit from a loan. Probably somewhere playing bottom six.
I think, though, if you're putting Dean Campbell out on loan, it had to have been this season. Because now you've given him plenty of starts and opportunity. Do you then say to him, right, we're going to start... I suppose for me, the biggest thing on Dean Campbell is what happens to Lewis Ferguson. If Lewis Ferguson... Mm. is still an Aberdeen player at the end of the transfer window. Mm-hmm.
Another thing I was going to say is, if we bring in a right back, then that would probably free up McCrory to play centre mid more often.
Yeah, exactly.
We might see him play right back a lot.
Ronald Fernandez.
Problem with Campbell, if he goes out on loan, then he misses out on a lot of experience you get from training alongside Scott Brown every day.
Yeah, and that's something that he said in his interview on Red TV that he was looking forward to. So it'll be an interesting one, that's for sure.
McKenzie was targeted in the air and needs to work on this, Lawrence Gray. Yes, he was a little bit. He looks a solid defender, and he looks decent on the ball going forward too. I think going into the next season, once he's had a full pre-season as well, we'll probably see him start to kick on a lot more. But he certainly looks promising at such a young age. I'd say he's raw still, definitely. But you can see he's got some attributes there that he could be a good defender for years to come, I think.
Yeah, and I think that's as well, like he said in his pre-match interview, for those of you that might have watched on Red TV, he has realised what the step up was between being on loan at Forfar to being involved in a first team like Aberdeen, week in, week out. And he's still getting used to that. And I think, with pre-season, we'll see how that goes.
I've been brought a cup of tea as well, so that's lovely. Thanks, Mum. Next is, let's just see who leaves because the hardcore changes are required. Simply Joe. Yes, I agree. Massively.
Straight to the point. I like it.
Jimmy Neal, though. What's the best way to just try and take Hedges off our hands? That wouldn't surprise me if they did that and then just simply brought him on just to play against Aberdeen like they do with Greg Stewart and Scott Wright, basically. Just take them off the bench every now and then.
If they do come in, I hope Dave Cormack just says that.
Shove it, because we can't afford to lose Ryan Hedges. But it would surprise me, especially if he does get into that Euro squad and maybe plays a little bit, then we might see, if not Rangers, someone else come in. Mm-hmm. And Lawrence Gray agrees. I think Hedges should go. Great form.
No, he says he should go.
Sorry. Great form at the moment. I totally agree. He's been the one shining light that from this season, really.
To be fair, he's the player that we should say, if there is contract, well, you know, that was actually an interesting point, because there was he'd opened contract talks, I think, with Aberdeen. It was mentioned in the Evening Express this week. That should be the one player we're turning around and saying, right, we're going to build the team around you. You know, you're, to be fair, he's our best attacking player at the club right now. And the only one that actually looks like creating anything decent for us. So we need to see more of that next season.
And I think maybe the last comment we'll address before we wrap up is this one from Liam Hogan, which is Cogan, sorry. I'm having a nightmare here. How many of the out-of-contract players stay, do you think? And I've pulled up the list. I've got the loans in there as well. So let's go with the three loans first. Hendry, Hornby, Canberry. None. Next.
Well, okay, actually, sorry. That's maybe how I jumped the gun a bit. I'd gamble on Hendry, but I'd like to see if we could sign anybody better first.
Thing is, though, I also think he's in contract for next season with St Johnstone.
Yeah, because as well as
playing European football as well.
Well, they will be. They're guaranteed. No, but I'm saying
they could be playing group stages.
Yeah, sorry, but yeah, they're guaranteed European football regardless now with their point today finishing fifth. But Hendry's, to use your word that you like to use, raw. You know, we saw his missed chance against Hibs. The missed chance at 0-0 against Dundee United, where he should have probably squared it to Lewis Ferguson instead, and then who knows what happens there. But I think if you're offered Lee Griffiths or Callum Hendry, I would go with Lee Griffiths.
Yes, 100%. Also, he's raw, but he is now 23 according to Transfermarkt, so not got much room to improve for me.
Coming into prime time,
Tommy Hoban. We touched on it a little bit. For me, probably
I would keep
goes.
Him if Ash Taylor's away, I'd keep Tommy Hoban.
Well, problem is, we've got Considine, Gallagher, and then if he's offered a contract to Devlin for some reason, then that only leaves room for one more centre-half probably to come in.
I would keep Hoban and rip up Devlin's contract extension.
That is very fair. Yeah, but I would agree with that. Conor McLennan, he's signed, hasn't he? Yes. Transfermarkt haven't updated that.
Okay.
Niall McGinn could have come on for his last appearance today.
To be honest, we've talked about it. We've talked about it on this show many a time. I would have him as a squad player, but it would have to be on reduced wages given how much he's getting past it, because he's probably all right for this league, but certainly if we're wanting quality and wanting to maybe improve the squad, I think we maybe need to get rid and to free up, because let's be honest, he will be on a decent wage.
Also, not to play him on the wing. Play him in behind off a striker when he does play, because he's not got the pace for it anymore. Ash Taylor.
Well, I think we already know what the answer one is.
He's gone. He's gone. Yeah, he's gone. Let's be honest. India Taylor's back down south. He's in Seoul. I think he's gone. Touch on Mikey Devlin. Rip up his contract.
Yeah.
I think, there's a player in there, but we're now at the stage we can't afford to have Mikey Devlin's at the club where you don't know. Obviously, injuries do happen to everyone, but they shouldn't be happening this frequently, basically.
Yeah.
Greg Lee, again, exact same. It happens to everyone. It should be happening this frequently for me.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about Greg Lee?
Well, he shouldn't have got his extension in January. We could have, you know, just got rid of him in January. Again, it goes back to what I said earlier. We're too nice. We just wanted to look after him. We were, you know, said, oh, we'll just give you a deal, you know, try and be nice to you, but that's a waste of 6 months' wage.
Yeah.
You know, Cormac goes on about how we've, you know, lost 10 million this season that could have been used towards a stadium. I'm sure if you saved 6 months' wage off a player, that could help towards a better player's wage.
Yeah, 100%. Shailen Logan, also definitely gone, so.
Definitely gone. I've said it already. Such a poor, I was going to say disgusting, but it's maybe a bit harsh, but just such a poor attitude. In the last few months, he can do his plumbing alongside playing for Cove next season.
Also, he was in pure gym Kitty Brewster wearing his Hearts gear, which just seems weird, if nothing else. It's like, why is he doing that? Surely he's got other clothes to wear. Very odd. And Ethan Ross, I think I know your answer for this. Sign him up, surely. He's still
That's
young.
Your answer. That's
he's still
your
19.
Answer.
He's still 19. Yeah. He's still 19.
I think he'll still be here next season, although I'm surprised that we gave Niall McGinn minutes over him today, but maybe that's a sign of
the last
it being Niall McGinn's last appearance. We've not seen enough of Ethan Ross to know whether or not it's worth keeping on, whether or not we see that next season, who knows.
I think he's 19. I think he's got plenty of room to flourish and grow. And he deserves, I think, a couple of years more at least. I think once you reach sort of 21, 22, that's when it should be like, if you're not there, then see you later. But I think at 19, that's still very, very young to make a judgment like that.
Yeah, well, I think that sums everything up, Callum. You know, we did well for just, well, I didn't watch the game, you watched the game, and we had no notes. Mm-hmm. Last time one of us didn't watch the game, we had no notes. It was a horrendous episode.
I think that went okay. We will cut it down and edit it and put it out for audio as well. I think we'll just leave this on YouTube. If you haven't subscribed already, be sure to subscribe with notifications on. We've got plenty of stuff coming in the closed season, which will hopefully be more enjoyable than the actual football's been this season.
Yeah, including an interview with the chief executive of the Community Trust, who I am speaking to on Monday, and we will get that out probably a couple of days later because I'll need Callum to edit it for me. So maybe look out for that. So like Callum says, if you are watching on YouTube for the first time and you haven't hit that subscribe button, make sure you do so with notifications on, and you'll receive notification when that video is released. But Callum, you know, the season itself on the pitch hasn't been enjoyable. I was approached to kind of do a podcast, write up blogs for Aberdeen back in August. I stupidly said yes, thinking this won't be too hard. But I approached you because you had your own YouTube channel. For those of you that maybe want to check it out, do so. Some funny football manager merch.
And there will be videos coming back. I'm working on one as we speak, basically. So there we go.
To be fair, I really enjoyed it at the beginning of lockdown as well, the bringing back the glory with Aberdeen, and you've had your Newcastle save. But, you know, I've got to say to you, thanks for, you know, basically agreeing to be my editor and making everything look professional, uploading the audio to Anchor, you know, putting all the graphics like we've got on behind us today for YouTube. So, and also agreeing to be part of this podcast because you didn't have to. You could have just said no, but it's been good fun. I'm sure plenty of you have enjoyed it. You know, we started this out with nobody, and we're now up to just under 470 subscribers, Jimmy. And Lawrence, thanks very much for the feedback today. It's only our second watch along or live reaction. So appreciate that feedback. We're learning all the time. We don't claim to be professionals. We do this as a laugh. We know sometimes it won't be up to standard. We know sometimes it might actually look all right.
Yeah. And we're not the pinnacle of knowledge either. Thank you also to you to for getting me involved, because although the football has been terrible, I've not enjoyed watching the football. At least I've been able to rant a little bit and have a bit of therapy.
It's been therapeutic, but you know, it's been a weird year in general, not just on the pitch, but it's been nice to actually have something to look forward to. You know, you're going to be able to chat to somebody every week and provide something to other people that might enjoy what we do, even if it is just to laugh at us.
Which is fair, to be fair.
Which is fair, because if we're making somebody laugh, if we're providing enjoyment to somebody, then especially with what's been going on just now, it's been needed, and we're not getting that enjoyment on the pitch, so we'll do our best off the pitch. With you know, if you're just tuning in for the first time today, as I said, we've had player interviews: Richie Byrne, Steve Tosh, Jack Grimmer. Jack was fantastic on the show. Jamie Smith as well, giving up his time over in America to chat to us about his early days, and obviously Copenhagen as well. Arild Stavrum, I chatted to him from his home in Norway. You know, we've got stuff in the pipeline as well for the future. We just need the players to respond. You know, you've maybe asked us for a few players, we've messaged them, but unfortunately if they don't reply, there's nothing we can do. But just want to say to you, Callum, thanks for your support, and to those of you that have been tuning in, thanks for your support as well.
Thank you very much. I think we'll leave it there. Cheers, guys. Enjoy the rest of your Saturday.
And enjoy the close season.
Yeah, exactly, 100%. Thank you very much.